This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour here. Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle is brought to you by Tackle, T-A-K-L. We're going to get you guys on the horn here at 206-421-3776. Brock, I finally got a chance to watch the game. I know you had your takeaways on Friday after doing a great job on the color commentary on Thursday night. And the question I have for everybody is, after getting a chance to actually see them, once you finally saw this Seahawks team and it took away some of the mystery of what they were going to look like, did you feel better, worse, or roughly the same as you did heading into that game? Because I think there are probably some elements of all three of those, some things that gave me the uh-oh, and a couple of things that were like, oh, that was actually a whole lot better than I really thought it was going to be. So, question for all you guys, 206-421-3776, after seeing them, do you feel better or worse about this upcoming Seahawks season?
Or exactly the same, and kind of to be determined, because there's real data points of the number of plays of the guys that are going to be playing the 65 to 70 snaps, more than likely week one in Denver, kind of a small sample size as far as that goes. But overall, I would have to say I'm more encouraged. I felt better. This is the best rookie class performance we've seen. You got to go back to Bobby and Russell and those guys in their rookie class. And if a lot of the conversation around here is, man, this feels like 2011, 2012. Well, the reason 2012 turned was because, yes, the 2 years previously of building the foundation up, but then it was Bobby and then it was Russell and it was some of those rookies in that class that said, I can play this game. I don't need a year or two of seasoning. I can come in here right away and supplement what you got and make you guys difference makers. And really, Mike, from first pick all the way to the very end of the draft, everybody contributed. And some did it with the starters. Rashim Green did it right there. He was the starting DN in the pass rush situation right away. Penny was in with the starters. Michael Dixon was in with the starters. Some of them did it with the starters. Some of the other guys, you know, did it with the backups in the game. But Trey Flowers started that game, held his own. Certainly was not intimidated, was not perfect, and is not going to be in any of these four games. And really any corner in this system is never going to be perfect, but did not give up a big play, more than held his own. So for me, I'm probably more encouraged because that rookie class showed up through and through.
That gives me a lot of hope for the future. I don't know that it necessarily makes me think that this year is going to be better, if that makes sense. I think I've told you, after a few years ago when too many people, myself at times included, got too caught up in the CJ Pro Size rookie class, and we were, oh, this guy's going to contribute here, and Vinette's going to do this here, and this guy's going to, and then, like,
none of them contributed. But none of them did it in the preseason.
No, but
Rhys Odhiambo, Delano Hill, CJ Pro Size, none of them even in the preseason stepped in. Even Jaron Reed, I mean, he played, but it wasn't as if, man, he really flashed. So that,
but even when you flash it, Frank Clark is a good example. Frank Clark did essentially what Rashim. I thought Rashim Green reminded me of Frank Clark last night or on Thursday. He really did a lot of similar things to what Frank Clark did in his first preseason when he flashed a few times. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, this guy's a man child. Look at all these things he can do out there. And then his rookie year, he was fine. He was
3.5-4 sacks.
He was good. He contributed. He wasn't a major part of what they did. And over the next couple of years, he became a bigger and bigger factor. And now is probably one of the better defensive players on the team.
Yep.
I tend to think that that's what you're going to see from Rashim Green and a bunch of these guys. Yeah, I'm glad they'll be able to contribute a little bit. But if I want this team to be 10-6 this year, I don't know that it's going to be because the rookies of the group that takes them there. It's going to need to be because, you know, Russell Wilson and the veterans kind of do their thing, and they don't have any major holes. I don't know that I can commit to an answer on this. I kind of came back and felt the same as I did heading into this, which is that there's a lot of confusion about who this team really is. I thought they ran it really well, but they didn't dominate with the run. Like, they ran better, certainly, than they did a year ago. But did you see a team that looked like they were ready to run the ball for 200 yards a game this year? Did you see a team that looked like it was ready to dominate running the ball and physically imposing their will the way they did when Marshawn Lynch was the running back? I didn't see that. On the other hand, I sure did not see the inept offensive line play and inept running game and refusal to even call runs that they had last year. So I don't know what that's going to be yet. The defense, Brock, they kept the team out of the end zone for the most part. On the other hand, it sure felt like the Colts were moving the ball up and down the field fairly at will. They didn't generate a ton of pressure on the quarterbacks other than the few sacks they had. And so I don't know what they did. Was,
sure.
Was that a good defensive effort because they kept them out of the end zone and they bent but didn't break? Or was it a bad defensive effort because, honestly, Indy was moving the ball on them pretty easily?
You know, I went on a little rant on Friday. Not necessarily a rant, but just for all of the times that we have said, and especially you, Mike, but all of us collectively have said, does it really have to look so much different than anybody else?
Right.
Can it just ever look conventional?
I don't think it did look that much different on Thursday.
The number one offense looked conventional. The number
that's
one
what
offense,
I mean.
Yeah.
Yes, it looked different. It looked different from how they've been.
Correct.
It looked like everybody else's offense.
Yes, it sure did.
It's so strange.
It's kind of refreshing.
Yes.
Like, oh, that's what a pocket looks like. Oh, that's what a 10-yard run looks like. Oh, that's what that's supposed to be like.
Yeah, and they still did some of their things, and Russell ran around a little bit and made some Russell plays.
Yeah.
But it didn't look like this weird JV offense that somehow worked.
Nope.
It actually looked like an NFL offense.
Yes.
That was strange.
Yes.
I didn't know what to make of all that.
That was incredible. 206-421-3776.
What did you get out of it? Did they look better than you thought? Did they look worse than they thought? Than you thought? Was it the same? Let's start with Jim, who's in Chehalis on line one. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Well, what do you take away? What do you take away? You feel better, worse, the exact same?
Dude, I feel great. That offensive line looks so much better. Tight ends actually looked like they knew what they were doing. I didn't have to worry about Jimmy Graham throwing a missed block and getting my running back killed or getting Russell killed. The defense, I think it's going to come together. It's going to take some time. They need a little cohesion time, I guess. Brock, I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure, Jimmy.
What do you think? I went back and kind of looked at a little bit of video.
Yeah, you did.
Earl,
yeah.
Doing the hitting and all that. With this new helmet rule, do you think Earl's play would get cut in half?
That is a great question, Jim. I appreciate the phone call. I'm glad you felt great about that at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. Love that. Love you for that. I was actually talking to a football person, you know, someone that's really in the know around this building, and they brought that up. They brought that, you know, to my attention. I hadn't thought about that at all. And they said, think about Cam. As many of those hard hits that he had, many of those were with his shoulder. Many of those were not launching himself, spearing kind of perpendicular to the ground. Many of those were eyes up, head up, with his shoulder just knocking the guts out of somebody. Bobby Wagner, you saw that against Andrew Luck as he closed the cushion and he whacked him pretty good. Or when he blitzes, you know, none of those guys, Cajun, none of them leave their feet. And you know, some of the launching and some of the head down, some of the things that the league is concerned about, like Earl does. Because Earl is reckless, man. Earl comes in, and we love him for that, at 200 pounds, and saws guys in half. But many times he does it, you know, in that launching position and perpendicular. Could Earl change? Yes. Will Earl have to change? 100%. Does it take away half of his game? By no means. Earl can still play in this league. But if Earl played 16 games in that way, are there going to be half a dozen penalties against him this year? Very possibly, Jim. Very, very possibly. And that's a pretty astute thought that someone brought to my attention around here.
Adorable that you think Earl's going to play 16 games this year. There's almost no chance that happens. He is holding out to start the year, and I can't think of the last time he made it through a season without an injury. So, I don't see that being a real possibility. That's an interesting idea, and you wonder if it's part of what's hurting his value in these trades out there, as the rest of the league can recognize that as well. 206-421-3776. Did the Seahawks look better or worse? Did they help your expectations or hurt them after actually seeing them on Thursday night? Let's grab Mark, who's driving on I-90. Good morning, Mark.
Hi, good morning, fellas.
Hey, man.
So I'd say I don't really have any expectations for the season. Like, I'm not expecting them to make the playoffs, especially missing it last year. I'm not expecting them to go as poorly as they were projected. So I was encouraged by what I saw, especially from the offensive line and the offensive play calling. It did look like a coherent football team out there. I liked the runs. I liked the offensive line forming pockets and getting a push when the ball is snapped. They're actually pushing forward. I thought Rashad Penny looked pretty cool, too, the way he was moving. He's kind of shifty, and he was looking a little slippery on some of the guys trying to tackle him, they were kind of sliding off of he was kind of shedding the blocks. I just like the way the offense looked. Now the defense is why I don't have those expectations, because we got, you know, we have so many new pieces now. But that's also, I'm most excited about watching the defense, just seeing how they're going to grow. You know, who's going to step up.
They're going to need to grow.
Position.
They're going to need to grow a little
bit. Thank you, Mark.
Appreciate the phone call, and thanks for all those observations. That's a bunch of them. The defense is that one thing where I can't – are they going to be able to actually get pressure on the quarterback? I mean, you didn't see Frank Clark in this game. Deion Jordan still isn't healthy, and who knows when he's going to be there. So, obviously, that changes what they look like on defense. And maybe these big fellas in the middle are going to be just good enough to clog up some space and let a couple of playmakers do their thing. Tom Johnson, I thought, looked fine, and Jaron Reed kind of does his thing in the middle. Like, so maybe that's enough. Just clog it up in the middle, make it difficult to run on you, and then let a couple of playmakers do their thing. But it sure seemed like there were some easy yards up there for Indy.
I think I can tell you, they're not going to be a 50-sack team like they were in 2013. That's not going to happen.
Right.
The Colts, who they played, I believe were 30th in the league last year with like 23 sacks. Right. So the number is somewhere between 20 and 50. And where are they going to fall between 20 and 50? You're going to need Frank Clark to get double-digit sacks. You're going to need him to get 10, 12, 14 sacks and be so unbelievably motivated and hungry to get his money. Right, I think they've made it clear, we're not giving you any of your money now. You've got to go out and play at an unbelievably high level. And if you do, this market, unlike for safeties, this market will pay you. And we may franchise you and get you $18 million, or somebody is going to pay if you can get double-digit sacks. So that alone, you know, and again, going back to the Colts, Jabal Sheard led that team with 5.5 sacks last year. That's not going to happen. Okay, Frank got 8.5, 9.5. You've seen guys here with this scheme and system, you know, so... Are they going to be 32 sacks? Are they going to be 35 sacks? Are they going to be 25 sacks? They're going to be somewhere between 25 and 35, and probably, Mike, more than likely, somewhere between 10 and 20th in the league. And then you better stop the run, and then you better get a takeaway or two to be a difference maker.
206-421-3776. After seeing the Seahawks team in person on Thursday night.
So you're the same? Answered the question?
I'm not ready to. I mean, honestly, I feel terrible about this bad radio, but right now I think they're between a 6-10 team and a 10-6 team. And I know that's essentially a gigantic
span. Okay, let me frame it this way.
I can't figure them out yet.
Yeah, we'll get to a bunch of your calls. Let me frame it this way. Mark kind of led me to a thought there driving on I-90 and said, I'm going into this year with almost no expectations. Mm-hmm. When it came to the Mariners coming into this year, were you like-minded? Did you come into the Mariners, or was it actually the invert? I thought they'd be bad. Yeah, I thought they'd be bad too.
Yes.
I thought they would actually be bad.
I thought they would be a bad team.
So I'm wondering if folks kind of can compare how you went into this Mariners season and what an unbelievably pleasant surprise and crazy run it's been as they get ready for their biggest series of the year, and look at that in the same vein here.
I think you can.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's nice not having – and we talked about this last week. It's nice not having the expectation that this team needs to win 12 games this year or else. I think there is a little bit of grace. There is a little, like, take a step back and breathe and see what they're able to get done. And so in that regard, there were some parts that were sort of pleasant surprises. I also thought Indy moved the ball too well. There were those.
How'd Dixon do punting the ball?
Dude. What did he hit that thing? 70 yards?
Oh, we told you not to watch the fourth quarter, right? As you kind of went through your evaluation. Yeah. You missed something in the fourth.
Yeah, so why? I saw that, actually. I ended up
doing it. Oh, you did end up doing it.
Yeah, I did end up watching it.
Oh, Mike, you rebel. You watched the fourth?
I did end up watching the fourth quarter. Actually, the best part of the fourth, best part of the game, and I'm surprised you left this out too, was the interview with Bobby Wagner, which was in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was completely distracted and just getting psyched up by all the hits.
Right.
And, like, you knew he didn't want to comment on whether or not that was an illegal hit.
Right.
He couldn't help
it. What's he supposed to do?
He's just mad about it.
Yes.
He was raw. He was real.
Yep.
That was probably the best part of the whole broadcast.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, so shame on you for not telling me to watch that.
But the drop?
Yeah, so they try to drop kick off the kickoff, right?
Yep, they did.
Yeah. Why would you show that in the preseason?
Because you got to practice it.
No, you don't.
Sure you do.
No, you don't.
I think you do.
You practice it in practice.
Exactly. You practice that in practice with nobody watching. Why would you put that on tape?
Because it works both ways. The same reason Chris Peterson will run a trick play.
Nah.
Because you then have to practice.
Nope.
And it puts a little bit of an unknown factor. There's as much benefit on the other side of it.
Correct.
Like, you don't know what's coming.
And then everyone from then on will have to practice.
Denver now will have to panic and freak out. Like, what if they drop kick it here?
Why not surprise Denver with it and then make everybody else? You get both advantages.
Don't live in fear.
It's not fear. It's just the element of surprise, which for some reason you don't seem interested
don't
in.
Fear.
All right. 206-421-3776. You're being
fear.
Ridiculous. Kendall's in Santa Monica. Hi, Kendall.
What's up, Kendall?
Hey, guys. Happy Monday.
What's up, hey, dude? Man.
What's up, number one?
What's up? For me, my expectations have not changed in the slightest because I am the optimist. So I think the Hawks are going to win the division, contrary to what a lot of people think. And what I saw on Thursday confirmed that, mainly because what the last couple of callers have said is competent offensive line play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Russell is so good. He led the league in touchdowns last year with that strange carnival that was going on in front of him. And I think that with competent offensive line play, you saw the offense on schedule, you saw play action, you saw them mixing it up. And I think that's the important thing is the balance. That's what Pete keeps saying is balance. It's not just about just running the ball. It's the balance that's going to enable Russ to take that leap to be a tier one quarterback. Yeah. And if he does that, there's no way we can't win the division.
I agree with all that, and that's all very encouraging. What about the defense?
Defensively, there's one thing that I saw in particular that really encouraged me, which was when I was rewatching the game, watching Rasheem Green's hand placement on the pass rushing. Like you mentioned Frank Clark flashing in the preseason. He did, but that was with a lot of athleticism, a lot of bull rushing. And when I was watching Rasheem, he looked like a 21-year-old rookie.
Kendall, stop. Come on. Don't talk to me about Rasheem Green's
Kendall,
placement.
Kendall, it's
Get
very lucky
here.
You're not watching on the live
Kendall,
stream because we're not on the live stream today.
Don't give me hand placement. Stop.
Not buying it.
I'm not buying hand placement. Nope. You're not here.
It's on the tape.
Nope.
It's on the tape.
Nope. Sorry, dude. I love you. You're my favorite caller. I love all your points, but you're off the air for today. In fact, you might be dropped down to number two. You can't give me hand placement. I'm not buying that for a second. Don't pretend like you know where his hands are supposed to be placed.
I want more, Kendall.
You know that's not true.
What do you mean, Kendall? Did he get on the shoulder pad?
Stop
Was it on
it.
The pec? What did he do with his hands?
I said his pass rushing moves look like more like a savvy veteran.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
There it is.
There you go.
Thank you for editing. That's a much better point than you were paying attention to his hand placements. Stop. All right, great call. Love talking to Kendall. He's our guy. It's really funny, though. I just thought his hand placement was perfect. I was like, get out of here. What do you know?
Now, he is true. Like, some of the moves that he had, wiping the hands away and swimming and doing some of the different moves was impressive.
Good.
With the hand placement.
I'm glad to hear it.
You're not buying.
No. Let's grab Tyler and Fife. Good morning, Tyler.
How's it going, guys? So, the good I'm thinking is the fact that nobody talks about is the coaching staff. That everybody wanted Bevel gone in this whole Seattle area. I make them a 6-win team because of the coaching staff. The bad news on the defensive side, I miss the Cam Chancellor presence more than anything. Going down in the box, laying the hard hit. We had Eric Reed, you know, for a free agency. I mean, that could have been a spot to fill, you know, the Cam Chancellor. That was the shot. That's what I loved about them.
Yeah. Different. I'm with you. I noticed the same thing. And by the way, McDougal had a good game. I mean, he made a really nice play, knifed in the background, backfield, and had a nice tackle, or at least led to a Justin Coleman tackle. I mean, he played a good game. He's a good player.
Yes.
But there is no doubt you miss that intimidation factor. You miss that swagger on that defense.
Yep.
The question
is that not Bobby?
Well, I don't think so.
Really?
No. And Bobby's great, but Bobby was there before. It was Bobby.
You don't think Bobby can assume a little bit more of that?
Yeah, maybe. But one guy alone does not do that unless you have the ferocity of a Cam Chancellor and everything he did.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And in Bobby's career, he's been a great player with some big-time hits. He hasn't been that in the same way. And he hasn't. And that's not to say he's not a great player.
Todd Gurley would disagree with you.
I'm not saying he hasn't had those mammoth hits. I know he has. But the reputation and the intimidation, everything that Cam brought to the table.
Yes.
This defense is going to have to come up with its own identity. And my guess is it is not going to be its level of ferocity and its hard hits. It's going to have to be taking the ball away with speed. It's going to have to be.
Yes.
It's going to need to be Tedrick Thompson and Bradley McDougal being fast enough to cover all their ground. It's going to have to be cornerbacks turning and finding the ball. It's going to have to be Justin Coleman with a couple of big picks in the slot. It's going to have to be another Nas Jones interception.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be speed.
Barkevious Mingo and, some of the people off the edge.
That's really all they've got.
Yeah, I'll tell you, speaking of speed, that was one of the highlights to me was Tedrick Thompson. his two plays where he came out of center field, one on the touchdown saving tackle where there was no question. It wasn't like a shoestring or barely wrapped him up. He got right into position. He wrapped him up. He brought him down. And then on the very, very next play, a kind of a blown zone coverage in mm-hmm. front, guy has to fall down to catch it, and Tedrick is right there. I mean, he got from point A to point B, and if he continues to do that and can accelerate like that, that's a big, big
positive. That's a lousy call on the Delano Hill fumble. That's horrible. A fumble. What are you doing? That's just a and the whistle was even after. I mean, it's just a terrible call. Whatever. All right, here's what we're going to do next. First of all, great talking to you guys about the Seahawks. Mariners get the series sweep over the weekend, but it's not just that they swept. It's who they swept. And the reaction of one of our favorite people on Twitter to that was not exactly spectacular. Poor Astros Rants guy. He's just innocently down in Houston getting mad about bat flips and calling his Astros the best team in forever, the best team in baseball, the team with the rings. But he sounded kind of sad and depressed, didn't he?
But he did it at least clean. I mean, both versions, about 2 minutes of the commentary,
but
both Friday
Kyle,
and Sunday.
Do we have a little? I mean, he was sad. He was down in the dumps over what happened to him.
Pathetic, I believe.
You know how lucky you have to be to win 26 one-run baseball games? It's just pure luck.
He's very mad about
that. So here it goes. Mike Zunino, a loser. It's a home run.
He's not happy. He hates the Mariners. He hates Mike Zunino. He thinks the Astros are the best team in baseball. And he's going to join us next on the heels of his Astros getting swept. Stick around for Astros Rants Guy next on Brock and Salk.
They're not that good. The Mariners are not that good. They're just a lucky baseball team.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
The Mariners are just a lucky team. They're pure luck. They're pure luck. They're not that good. The Mariners are not that good. They're just a lucky baseball team. And it pains me that they're a half game out of the Astros.
Well, it's a little more than a half game now, but nevertheless, a huge four-game sweep over the weekend for the Mariners. They take all four in Houston. Brock had never done that before against the Astros, and they got it done. Edwin Diaz with the save in all four of those games. It's Brock and Salk, and we're over at Seahawks training camp, which you can hear in the background. And this hour is brought to you by Tackle, T-A-K-L. You know that voice. It's Astros Rants.
Yep.
Astros Rants guy who we found lurking on Twitter. I think, Lydia, did you discover him? I always forget where he came from.
It's centered around Mike Zunino hate.
Oh, yes.
The show record found him. Obviously, let's be very clear.
They do everything first. No, I think Lydia discovered him and his hatred for Mike Zunino and how he thinks Zunino's a weird bat flipper, which I've never really considered him to be. But finally, we thought the time would be right, Brock, for us to be joined right now by Astros Rants guy. How are you?
Doing great. Well, no, I'm not doing great at all, actually.
What's wrong? What's happened here?
I don't know. Four game sweep is terrible, terrible. But what I do know is that when my Astros went to bed last night, Justin Verlander goes to bed last night. He has his ring on his bedside table that he gets to polish off every single night and every single morning. So, you know, maybe that's. That's one good thing about it.
You scared?
Huh?
You scared?
Am I scared? Am I scared of who? The Mariners?
Scared of the Mariners? Scared of the A's that are 2.5 back, that are chasing, half your team is injured, doesn't want to play? You scared?
Doesn't want to play. I don't know about that. No, I'm not scared. I'm not scared of a negative run differential. Not at all.
So who do you think is better, the A's or Mariners? Like, if there is a team that you get an opportunity to play, who would you rather play amongst those two?
Who would I rather play? Probably the Mariners. No doubt. Probably the Mariners.
Why?
I just don't – I'm not really scared too much of the Mariners. Mike Zunino doesn't scare me. I'm not scared of Mike Zunino. Many people think I'm scared of Mike Zunino.
Why the hatred for Zunino?
What'd you say?
Why is Mike Zunino the one you've singled out? Why the hatred for him?
Well, okay, maybe it's not hatred. Maybe it is hatred, because it's definitely not jealousy. Definitely not jealousy, but when you It was a couple of series ago against them. When you hit a home run, okay, when you hit a home run, you don't stare at it for a long time. You watch the ball for 1 second, drop the bat down, and round the bases. He tried to make a show of it. It was embarrassing to everyone involved. The Astros have a ring. They're champions. You got to respect them. Garner some sort of respect.
Don't you get to, like, you know, celebrate a little bit? Like, the game should have some fun factor to it, right? I mean, Alex Bregman seems like he's got a little fun to him, and George Springer and some of the guys on the Astros. Like, don't you get an opportunity to have fun in baseball?
Yeah, you do get an opportunity to have fun when you win a World Series, okay? It's the whole point of baseball is to win a World Series. When you win a World Series, you get to have fun. Again, I'm not too much a fan of Alex Bregman's antics, to be honest. But he does have a ring, so maybe that's some validity to it.
How did the Mariners come into your building and take four games? Something they had never done in the history of their organization. Came into your building, faced Verlander, faced Cole, faced Morton, faced Keuchel, faced your very best all-star after all-star, and came into your building and took all four.
I don't have much to explain that, but what I do have to say is that what's today? It's August. August. The playoffs are in October. That's when the stars shine, not in August. I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. It's a meaningless August series, okay? The stars shine in October, okay? They weren't ready. They weren't pumped up enough, okay? In October, they'll be pumped up enough. The Mariners may not even be there, so it doesn't really matter.
Is this the curse of Osuna? I mean, the team was kind of rolling right along, and then all of a sudden Osuna shows up.
Haven't won a game since July 14th at home.
Things don't seem right with Osuna in that bullpen, do they?
There's no curse. The Astros don't have a curse. Houston doesn't have a curse. They used to have a curse, then they won. No curse. Doesn't matter who they brought in. Okay. Osuna, no, there's no curse. No curse. I don't even want to talk about it, really.
I don't blame you. I think this morning, if I were you, I wouldn't want to talk about it either. Well, keep it up, man. We love the rants. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Yeah, have fun not being in October, but thanks a lot again.
There you go. On the Venue Kings hotline, it is the one and only Astros rant, Spry. What do you think?
Did he live up to expectations?
I was hoping for him to be a little more mad,
right?
Especially at the Zunino supposed bat flip after the home run or whatever. But no, I thought he was fine.
Yeah. He was rude. He was not fine. He was very rude.
He was. I like that about him. I like that he's willing to be rude.
I didn't appreciate what he had to say about Mike Zunino. I didn't appreciate what he had to say about the Mariners.
Oh.
I didn't like it.
All right, Howdy, let's do this. See, I'm trying. I hadn't thought about that.
Next time he's on, yeah. Howdy's got to be
yeah,
on.
Yeah, unfortunately, we had to tape that before the show this morning just due to some timing.
Because he's really busy.
And also because we weren't sure that we could trust Astros rants on the air live. So for the first ever appearance, we thought it should be on tape. Next time, it should be live. And here's why. We need Lydia to be able to interact with him if she's capable.
True.
Because Lydia, you know.
I'll be very positive. Well, I want to talk to him.
He has said before.
Lady killer.
That he's such a lady killer. Like, he's so good looking that it's hard for some women to talk to him. So I hope you will be able to.
I will, you know, take one for the team on this. It'll be rough, but I can do it.
I hope you'll be able to handle it. But I hadn't thought about the dynamic with Howdy and the love for Mike Zunino before.
Right.
And it seems like maybe that's something we need to arrange also.
Well, the beauty with Howdy is he can morph into so many different characters. I think he could morph into Astros Rant's voice guy, same dictation, same tone and everything, and throw it right back at him. And I don't know what that guy would do. I don't know if he could handle the kind of heat Howdy could throw his way.
A lot of text messages. That guy's a dork. Awesome. Thank you. Lydia's too intelligent and eloquent for that moron. He's a coward who hides behind his keyboard. Did Astros Rants have a issue with Lance Bergman or Jeff Bagwell and their bat flips?
Correct.
Please don't ever have that guy on again. He's a jerk. He's a bozo. I love him. I can't wait to have him on again.
You are fascinated by him.
I think he's
as
so
much
funny.
As any character in 10 years on a radio show.
I think he's so funny.
Yeah.
There's something about his attitude.
Because, be honest, was this you? Like,
no.
I mean, could this have been you in a different life?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yes.
Kind of.
I mean, the lady killer part.
I mean,
yes.
you like you could have like a Tiger Woods rant.
Yes.
Like that could be you.
Every
the
day.
Guy made like, a brand on hating something. Of course it was you.
What's with all these Tiger Woods fans? Casual fans? Like you could just do that.
I don't have any interest in doing that, thank you. But I enjoy what he does and I like what he brings to the table. I find him to be very entertaining. What I wonder is how entertaining he found yesterday, because from our perspective, it was pretty darn special.
I had a gut feeling that it wasn't over. Luckily, it came true.
Swing and a fly ball into left field and deep. Tucker going back to the warning track to the wall. Goodbye, baseball.
You really dream up those moments. It was just special. You felt something special.
Ryan Healy has tied it at 3-3 here in the top of the ninth inning.
Not one person has to carry the load, and I think that's what you saw this series.
Swing and a smoke down the left field line. A fair ball by inches into the corner. He sprints to third. He's steaming towards the plate, and Mitch Haniger has just giving the Mariners a 4-3 lead.
You know, I got a welcome call from our closer. He said, we got the lead, I'm in the game.
I told him, I want to go to it. I want to pitch.
I got larger goosebumps after hearing that than I did after hit the home.
He wants it, and you know, it's one of those where there's nobody better at the end of the game.
Ball game is over. Diaz gets the save. He saves all four games in Houston.
That's kind of how Eddie's wired and how this team is wired.
And for the first time ever, the Mariners sweep a four-game series against the Astros on their home turf.
It takes everybody. It takes all 25.
What a ball game today, and what a series, as the Mariners are very much alive in the race.
We've been tested. We've had a lot of adversity this year, and I think this team's going to be in a good spot.
Yeah! Baseball!
Great weekend, Mariners sweep, and on to Oakland now for the series of the year, at least so far. A's and Mariners, 6 o'clock pregame show tonight. Game will get going just after 7 o'clock from the Coliseum, man. I'm pretty juiced up.
Marco and Manaea.
It's good.
Yeah.
There's good pitching matchups kind of all through this. Marco and Manaea tonight. Yep. Paxton goes tomorrow. And then Leak. You get Mike Leake at the end of this thing. So see what they can get done. Finish out this road trip and try to take 3 in Oakland and get ahead of the A's. All right, we got to answer your questions, finish off this show. It's been a doozy, man. Will Disley, Astros rants guy, Seahawks calls, Mariners excitement, Tiger argument, 710-710. Powered by Coors Light, any question on any subject, we're willing to answer them. We'll do it next. I'm Rockin' Salt.
This is Rockin' Sox. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's answer your questions how we end every show, 710-710. Powered by Coors Light. Text coming in with all kinds of questions, and we shall answer them. Is having Robinson Cano and Everett like having an adult playing Little League? Not quite. But,
no.
But close.
No.
Right? Like, there's an element that there's a similarity there, right?
Well, just to see him go up against some of these pitchers, which couldn't have been, like, more than 150 pounds soaking wet and
right.
Just, like, bright eye, you know, they're just, I wonder what that must have been like.
Would you say he ambushed pitches? That seems to be, like, the new thing everybody's saying these days in baseball. He ambushes the fastball.
Was it last year Titus and I went up to Everett, and Titus had a chance to throw out a first pitch, which was awesome. And I believe I saw Jason Churchill up there, and I asked him, how many of these guys make the big leagues? How many of these single-A players in Everett will one day make the big leagues? And it's an unbelievably low rate. Right? I mean, it's a very small percentage that actually climb from the bigs going that route through Everett. And so for that single-A pitcher to say to his kids one day, like,
yeah,
I gave it up.
Yep.
I gave him my best shot. I gave him my 86, and he deposited it for a grand slam.
Took it deep.
Yeah, at least he's got a memory that he'll have for the rest of his life.
How was Stowers up there, Lydia?
He wasn't having the best night on Friday, but it was really cool to see Robbie Cano and Josh Stowers go back-to-back. It kind of very felt like here is the Mariners' present/future going back-to-back with the Mariners'
future.
Cool.
Yeah, I think Kyle Lewis had a 3-run jack over the weekend. I think I read that as well. Be nice to get some of those guys going.
I'm excited about Stowers. That kid's got some personality. You know who's going to hate him? Astros Rance
yes,
guy. That kid's going to be flipping bats all over the place. Right, jerks. Saul, how much do you like to interact with a dealer when playing blackjack? Are you a playful banter guy, or do you blame them for bad cards? How about both? Depends on what's going on at the table at the time. Depends on if they're giving bad cards. But I told you, I might be out on blackjack now.
Do you throw a little tip their way, though, always?
Sometimes. I don't know.
Sometimes.
I'm not really
always.
Sure whether the whole tipping and blackjack thing.
Okay.
If you win a lot of money, yeah, but not when you're losing. I don't know. I really just, I've now, I may be so obsessed with Pie Gal. That might be it for me, Brock.
And what does Pie Gal mean?
I don't know what it actually means. Somebody tried to explain it to me, but I couldn't quite understand it.
Okay.
But you say it when you don't have any cards.
Oh.
Pie Gal!
That kind of makes sense.
What do you got? Pie Gal!
Nothing.
I know. Here's
Next
another
question.
One. Salk, when you are playing blackjack, do you call out players who don't know what they're doing, or do you silently accept their ignorance knowing they'll be losing and off the table soon?
Great question.
Depends. The drunken buffoons, you just got to let them go because they'll move along quickly. The sort of person who's just new to blackjack and wants to understand and will kind of look over for help, like, I'm happy to help on that. I think that's fun. Right?
Yeah, you help me. Where do we play that? Spokane?
Yeah.
Where do we get to do that?
Yeah.
We got to go back there, by the way.
Let's go.
How nice was that place? That
sounds awesome.
That was fun.
Yeah.
We got to do that.
All right.
Little golf trip. Some great golf courses over there.
I'm in. Let's go.
I'm ready to move to Spokane. Next.
Speaking Next of question. Vegas, Jerks, were there any new songs as cool as My Cup discovered this weekend? First of all, how could there be?
My Carp?
How
Do we ever figure out, was it My Carp or My Cup? We never really settled that.
In my cup, stays in my cup, stays in my cup. My cup, in my cup, in my cup, stays in my cup.
My cup.
By the way,
hey.
Disley a little My Carp look.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, bigger, obviously.
A little Justin Myers. In my cup, in my
now,
carp stays.
That was
in my
discovered
carp.
In Vegas, I don't know, a long time ago, 7-8 years ago, but. The only discovery I made, I mean, Pie Gal was the big discovery. My buddy told me about a rapper named Lil Skies.
Lil Skies, yeah.
And I really liked it.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
So there you go. That was my discovery. We can't play any of it on the radio, but it was really good. It's really chill.
There's no clean version?
No, I didn't hear it.
Are you sure?
There may be. I just haven't heard it.
Did you discover that in between taking, like, duck face selfies?
Yes,
or what?
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Have you ever heard of Lil Skies, Lydia?
I haven't.
By
no.
the way.
Hey,
I think
enough.
You'd like it.
There's
I'm
my
cool
guy.
Enough.
I think I'm calling it right now.
Demoria Stringfellow?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was great in the game, by
the
way. He
looked awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. He's got an NFL body, man.
He's got an NFL game.
Yeah, he does.
Just be available every single day, Demoria.
Jerks, did Salk wear his Affliction or his Ed Hardy shirt today, or did he leave it in Vegas with his leftover Smirnoff Ice? All right.
Bring well, that shirt nice and ironed out. Give it a couple snaps. Snap. Snap. Snap.
What do you
Laying it down for preparation to the bro hood.
So you left Thursday. Did you guys gamble Thursday night?
Of course.
So what do you wear to the... Is there a distinct, like... Whoa.
What did I wear Thursday night?
Is there,
night?
Like, a distinct outfit that you wear, like...
I wore jeans
So
and...
there's no wardrobe whatsoever. You don't care at all.
I try to dress nicely. I wore jeans and a white polo.
To gamble?
Yeah.
Okay. So you do try to dress
Saturday
nicely.
I did bring up my white pants. I won't lie.
Okay.
They came out.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. The white pants came out Saturday
What's
night.
What's up, Tater?
Yeah. It was, yeah. A good, it was good. But, I mean, I'm not...
Big series.
I didn't wear it with a bro tank.
So you do. You kind of dress up to gamble, really?
I mean, you're going out. You're going out to dinner. We're going out to a steakhouse.
Okay.
Like, don't you? I mean, you're not
I don't know.
Wear
I'm just. I,
would you wear a T-shirt to a steakhouse?
I asked the question.
Or would you wear
in
a,
Vegas? I would think you could.
To a
I
nice
would think
steakhouse?
In Vegas you could wear whatever you,
you
wanted
can,
to wear.
You can, but you know, come on.
Yeah.
You can do that in Seattle. You still look like a fool.
What do you think of Magoo? By the way,
I thought he looked pretty good. Actually,
yeah.
Pretty accurate. That's
not
sort
bad.
Of his thing.
He took a bunch of checkdowns.
Yeah,
which was smart.
Yeah.
Didn't force the issue.
Let's
Next question.
What else do we have from you guys? Brock, have you ever gone water skiing, jet skiing, or snow skiing?
I have never water skied. I almost killed myself jet skiing in Lake Chelan in college, following that big boat and like jumping up over the waves and almost crashed into Tony Coates. Life flashed before my eyes. But I have jet skied and snow skied very, very poorly. Like in
snow
high school, trying
hard.
To pick it up late. Yeah. Yeah. Molly, tremendous water skier, just like you.
Really?
Yeah. We did it last summer.
One
she
of
got
the many
right
things
back
Molly
up.
And I haven't gone.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Many things.
All right, let's get out of here. We got to get going for the day. We got to talk about this music going on. We got a lot to get ready for. Mariners and A's tonight.
Yeah. You going to be nervous?
No.
You going to have that giddy little can't wait feeling?
You know, my expectations are still low,
okay.
So I can only be surprised pleasantly tonight.
All right.
How's that?
And so Molly said to me, she said, why don't you just think the Mariners are going to lose and then be pleasantly surprised?
That's kind of where I'm at right now, and it's working out for me.
Yes.
I like that.
Good.
All right, let's catch you guys tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. We have Jeff Pass on tomorrow?
That's the plan. Especially if we win five
Nelly?
In a row. Can you
Let's
imagine
go.
The Mariners win five in
the
a row?
The white blanket on the show tomorrow? Ooh. Our thanks to Astros Rants Guy for making his debut today. We'll see you guys at 7 a.m. Till then, the hey, Barnes. Hey, everybody.
So here it goes. Mike Zanino, a loser. It's a home run.
And you're probably listening to this, and you're probably thinking, who is Mike Zanino? And like I said, he's a loser. He's a nobody. Nobody knows him.
Go!